This is a day, and we'll be talking about the utopistic, realistic view or perspective of the Europe. And it's not so far away, because there's a Europe without nuclear power. So the utopian approach and future are sometimes different, and it's very difficult just to decide about how to entitle this conference. Originally, we wanted to say that Europe has phased out the nuclear energy, but it's not true. So, and we couldn't give the name to the conference like that, because they would think that we have no idea about what is happening. But we would like to be very optimistic, to follow the utopia as well. And the last title, Europe Without Nuclear Energy, is the right name of the conference. And I would like to welcome all of you. And we have more than 140 participants here, 12 nationalities. I would like to thank all of you for participation. Šepni si. So I would like to welcome you on behalf of the organizers. And the organizers are Anti-Atom Committee, Anti-Atom Freistadt, and Atomkraftverlieben. This the German is the organization from Linz. These are three organizations. He contributed to the organization of this conference, and they are taking care of us during the conference as well. It works very well. So first of all, I would like to ask Mrs. Gabi Schweiger to come out with him. So she is the representative the organization Mütter gegen Atomgefahr. It means mothers against a nuclear threat. So Manfred Doppler is here, and he is from the Anti-Nuclear Committee. And his task is to provide the technical side of the presentations. So I would like to thanks to both of them for the preparation, for excellent job done. And I would like to thank everybody who is here in the background here, because everybody was performing well. And I would like to wish to all three of us to have a successful conference. My name is Roland Egger. I'm a chairman of the Atomstopp Linz organizations, and I will be facilitating the whole agenda. I would like to show you many interesting aspects. First of all, I would like to thank to the speakers who came from the Britain, Poland, Austria, Switzerland, Germany, and other countries, and they have contributed to this conference and made it unique. They will give us excellent information about the nuclear energy across Europe. So I am very interested in hearing everything, all the utopias and also the reality. And in the end, we believe that we will come to the conclusion that Europe can exist without a nuclear power. So as for the time management, I would like to ask you to adhere to the time limit. It means that we should just adhere to the time dedicated, and we plan with the discussion at the end of each presentation. Dalibor Strask is here. He is from Upper Austria, and he is a coordinator of anti-nuclear activities in Upper Austria. That We are thankful to the financial support of the Upper Austrian government, and also to Mr. Strasky, because he was coordinating it. So everything is based on the dislike of the Temelin nuclear power plant. But this is the start or the focus of our activities. But we have enlarged our approaches, and it reaches as far as Brussels, where we are writing in him. So, ladies and gentlemen, dear friends,
first, I would like to look to the past, and that's when we met in a conference, nuclear energy conference 2014, when we met with the topic of economics of nuclear plants. We thought that this is almost settled when the European Commission Brussels decides against state subsidies for nuclear power plants for Brittany Point in Great Britain, and before Czech government decided that they would support the development of nuclear programs in the Czech Republic, but without state subsidies. So that was a signal to us that there would be a change. However, in the background of today's conference, the reasons changed. However, the European Commission perhaps unexpectedly decided in favor of state subsidies for Hinkley Point in Great Britain. And as you know, Austria is preparing a suit for the invalidity of this decision, of Brussels decision. And by coincidence, a Czech government also, in the days of this conference, they gave their statement in the meaning that they decided on a new energy program, and they count on the development of a nuclear in the Czech Republic in 2040. The 50% of electricity should be produced from nuclear sources. But it's not in the Czech Republic only. There are developments in Hungary as well. At present, there is a testing for two new units of nuclear power plant Baksh 2. In Austria, there is a cross-border testing, EIA. And in Poland, they are planning even the start of nuclear. They want to embark this boat. However, in Slovakia, they have problems with selling Slovak producer of electricity because of reported completion of two nuclear units in Mochovce. These two nuclear units have still not finished, consuming other millions of euro, and the completion dates are moving forward and forward. So we have to simply show that the objective of our conference today is that energy concept is possible without nuclear, and we have to show the world in what way we can disembark the dead end street. And I wish you an interesting day today, and I wish you a lot of success in our conference. Thank you. Franz, please, could Franz Alm come in? So, in the internet pages, you can find that he studied political sciences, theology, philosophy. He graduated in 1967, and he was the editor of Südwestfunk, and then he moderated a political TV magazine report, and then he was the head of Zeitsprung, and since 1997 he is writing reviews, and he is a contributor to more than 40 newspapers and magazines. He is a consultant for governments worldwide, for governments, and he also gives his presentations worldwide. And today he came to Linz. You are heartily welcome, cordially welcome. It's not working yet. It's the nuclear power.
Test.
Now it's working. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. A few days ago, the German pilot in an airplane led this airplane to crash, and 150 people died in South France. And it was only, and he was only a few kilometers away from several nuclear power plants. And the pilot could have thought of actually hitting one of the power plants as well. Once again, we were lucky. I am sure that this terrorist or the terrorists that intend to do this are among us already. We are still lucky. I imagine that this airplane, a few weeks ago, it could fall into one of these French nuclear power plants. How would the Central Europe look today? Kunt Anders, his Austrian philosopher, he said shortly before his decease that the main problem of our time is that we can't imagine anymore what we are doing, what the consequences of our lives are. And I believe that's the main problem of the nuclear times. We don't have fantasy anymore to imagine that what has been prepared a long time ago. That's a mental problem of all of us. And for a long time, it has been no reason and no cause to stay with nuclear. The nature doesn't have energy problems. Sun sends us 15,000 times more energy than the entire Earth needs. There is no problem with energy, and God was not stupid. Evolution had clear rules. All times, at all people at all times had all that they needed. So where's the first picture of my presentation here? That's why, ladies and gentlemen, there's the first slide. 15,000 times more than we need at every moment of our life, of what we need. That's our planet, the little point. The sun is a million times bigger, and that's good for ages. And this is the breakthrough from nuclear and through fossil fuels. The sun doesn't send us invoices. And what is the economic advantage of that? Yes, it seems today that it's a vision only to have a nuclear-free Europe, but I am sure that the faster we operate this energy during the day, the faster we get to using bioenergy, natural energy, water plants, tides, and we will get to a breakthrough. The faster we will get, we will move this issue under control. On this earth, there are no energy issues, basically. The problem that we have is due to old energies, and it is those that doubt that the climate is changing, it's not proved. They say that it's not proved due to fossil fuels. Climate has always been changing in the history. That's absolutely right. But this is the course of changes in climate during the last 450,000 years. But look at the end of the curve. This peak has never been so high. And that's what times are doing. That's since the Industrial Revolution. This had never happened before with the increases in CO2 levels and the warming up of the Earth. It's scientifically proven. That's the last 100 years. This is how CO2 emissions are increasing by at least one third. That's the red curve, and exactly the red curve is global temperature on this planet. So the correlation is clear. Seriously, you cannot deny that. What is planned for the future dozens of years? What is the future holding for us? Chinese decided that for the first time they will try to cut down on CO2 emissions. The first time in the history, even though they decided to do so, they won't be able to control their emissions as long as by 2030. And if we look at American and Chinese CO2 producers, China and USA, we see what's ahead of us. The red is China and the blue is USA. And Obama said that we are trying to reduce CO2 so that the curve goes down, but that's a question whether they will actually manage doing it. And Americans will slow down a little bit, but Chinese will heat up a little more. And it means that due to old economies, we will have a great increase in CO2 emissions and great problem with climate. So if we carry on like this, it will happen that at the end of this century, our global climate will be more than 8 centigrades warmer. Optimists say that it will only be 2 centigrades, but realistic scientists base their assumptions that the 2 centigrades target is just is impossible. All that we've heard were promises of reducing CO2, but we won't be able to reach the target of CO2 reduction. So we have to count on the increase of CO2 emissions. We can see it most on the South and North Pole. I've been there 3 times in the last years, and I saw how the greenhouse effect works. You see that the cranks in the iceberg are the first messengers, and when the iceberg breaks and falls down into the sea, this is what it looks like. That's very dramatic, and this is what it looks like in the North and South Pole. There is a dramatic tubing of ice. So it's the most visible sign that the change in the climate is not a phenomenon, but it's a reality. It has been for a long time. This waterfall, it hasn't been there. A few years ago, it was a frozen ice. This is the greatest fjord in North Finland. In 1850, ice was reaching up to here, and then it started tubing. In 1875, it was here. 1902, 1929, 2001, and 2006. So dramatically, this has been tubing due to planet warming. So we are making a glass house of our country. And many friends say that nuclear is the outcome. But friends, we have so many renewable sources that we don't have to go through nuclear into the future. Once again, I'm saying just sun sending us all that we need, and water power plants, they are siblings of the sun. In the 50s, the European Commission in Brussels, in TV casting, they saw this scenario. It was in 1919, Europe. 3% renewable energy, 97%. That was oil and fuel, but since 2000 we can see a dramatic change and start of renewables. For the first time in Europe, their old fossil fuels have been declining. What happened? Germans, chairman passed a law on renewable energy sources, and they said that all companies would get economic support if they come over to renewables, and then you can see a considerable increase and decrease of fossils. And the European Union says if we can go in this process for 30 years, Europe would be renewable. This is a study that has been ordered by the European Commission. This is official. But it's not enough just going through old energy to renewables. We have to be energy efficient. We also have to save energies. It means 60% of old energy carriers have to be put on ice, and the remaining 40% must be made from renewables. That's a big program for many years that is shown by the European Union. However, in implementing, we are still in the labs. You see in this picture, the phase out is great in Germany, in process heat for companies and for houses. Most energy is consumed in our households, and you can see these two pictures from Thermovision. There is a wrong insulation on the house, yellow, green, that's a little better, but it's not good. Blue. When you look on the facade, on the envelope of the house, 40% is savings in heatings compared to the right-hand picture. Only if you put insulation on your house, and if you put insulation on your roof, you save 60%. And if you put overall insulation over your house, you save up to 80% of the costs. So you have to invest in the beginning, but it returns fast. It means that if I behave this way, I will save money. It's not only ecologic, it's economic as well. And then this pie of energies that we are consuming today will look like this in several years. 40% from solar energy, 30% from biomass, and wind 15%, water 10%, and 5% for heating oil. That's not a problem. It's not a problem to make it 100%. I don't think we will reach this soon, because then we would have a problem with producing food. But we have a much better potential in wind production. So 100% transition to renewables without any nuclear power plant is implementable if there is a political will. Biomass plays an important role, but the most important role, and when I say biomass, I mean residuals. I'll say a positive example from Worms. 3 years ago in Baden-Baden, we commissioned the most modern plant for biomass. We use grass from lawns without taking any of agricultural land. the use biological waste only from the city. Thousands of people from Baden-Baden get their heat and their electricity from biomass only. Ladies and gentlemen, this plant, that's the most fast-growing plant in the world. It's a great potential for the world. Our agriculture people will become energy managers. They will be the oil sheikhs of the 21st century in Europe. In Germany, we have almost 1,000 energy unions. Phase out can work from bottom up when we have active house owners, active companies, builders. These won't be large companies and corporations. These will be citizens, involved citizens that will associate into associations and unions, and the energy will be created in the region and it will be also consumed in the region. People, money will stay in the region, and that's the secret of the success. And in Germany, for example, out of 4% in the energy in 2015, we are at 30% of renewables energy. So you can see that when the society and politicians give us the right framework, people go for it. So
this is the first aircraft which is powered by the biofuel. The support to the crude oil is ending because in 2006 we had the highest or peak consumption of crude oil worldwide. So, of course, there was a big demand and the extraction or striking of oil is going down. But the sun is shining all the time, so this is a photovoltaic power plant. What is happening? So it means generators are now generating something like that, and they are trying to build it up. BP is doing the green promotion for the biomass, but the reality is a bit different. We have seen in the Mexican Bay, they have destroyed everything there. This is the future. You have a car, and when you need the car, so you'll have the car. But it doesn't have to be powered by any fuel. You can use a photovoltaic. The moment we implement this, we make 80% savings per for petrol. And if you are using the sunshine, so you make these savings. Do you know this gentleman? He is from Dallas. In the 80s, in the German television, there was a program. So there was a report with this name, and it was Dallas JR. So he was a direct competitor. Well, at the time, I was angry at JR because he was challenging us. But later, we made friends. He was from Dallas, and he was a friend of Sun Energy, Solar Energy. But he was a pioneer in the United States. We couldn't imagine something like that here. But before he died, we met in Munich. And he told me, forget oil. Solar energy is the energy of the 21st century. This is what he told me in prison. And this is a big heritage. He was a pacifist. He was against the war in Iraq, against George Bush. And we are frying this solar energy in Freiburg in Germany. And they are producing three times more energy than they could consume. So when I was here, so I was having a look at the roofs in Linz, and I was asking myself why there are so many many roofs which are not used for photovoltaic. We are still importing oil from Arabic countries, uranium from Australia, gas from Russia, but the sun is shining here for you, of course. This is what we can change, and it can be done in a smart way. This is the whole neighborhood producing much more energy than can be consumed there. This is a normal, usual house, as it is in Linz or anywhere, so so much money is necessary for energy. The other is the Z1, and passive houses are better, but those who have a are using solar energy are making money, and it's necessary for our houses to make money and sell there. So this is a heliotrope, a special house which is turning or rotating as the sun does. And it is producing six times more energy that can be consumed by the citizens. So this is a heating by energy, and it is making money for the citizens or for the inhabitants. These rotating houses have only one problem, because when you are leaving the house, so you just have to think which exit you are taking or where you'll be going out. So it means this roof is changing its direction. It's producing 12 times more energy that can be consumed in the house. So nobody cannot say that it's not possible. So there are, technically, it is feasible. But the architects have to learn where the south is situated. So this gentleman is standing in the South Pole. And this is a photovoltaic panel, 40 degrees minus, and he's producing 70 degrees temperature, water temperature. And we are producing that within 20 years, the sunshine has never the sun has never invoiced us. And as for the ecological Jesus, so I told them, so okay, put a photovoltaic on your roof so that the good knows where to land. And this is what it looks like. 2,000 churches in Germany have photovoltaic on their roofs. And when the church starts, everybody follows in Germany. And now Benedict the Second started with it. And the Pope started with this. And the largest solar power plant is next to Vatican. This is the hall for audiences of the Pope, and it's completely covered with photovoltaic panels or cells. And the current Pope said that he will be introducing the first ecological encyclical in the history. So we'll have an we will introduce a cyclic in favor of renewables. So the Pope will be supporting us against the nuclear, so we can rely on it. So we have to find all the partners across the world. It means Dalai Lama, the Pope, everybody who's against the nuclear energy is going hand in hand with us. So photovoltaic should not be really an arable land, but when it is on the surface like that, so it's good. This is the X mine in Germany. So it means they switched from coal to solar energy. So it should be look like that. The whole work can be 100% renewable. It must be beautiful. It must look beautiful. Aesthetic is very important. Oh, God, how sad it is when to see a nuclear power plant as for aesthetics, because we can achieve a very nice appearance of solar energy cells. This is a ThyssenKrupp Steelworks. They are producing solar energy, and it's very nice. This is a BMW in Munich. Very beautiful. So solar cells anywhere you look. This is the center of New York, and this is a vision. in France. This is in France. This is just a vision. Triumph of the Sun. But it can be implemented. This was the office of the German counselor. And Spain, anywhere, these full cells can be placed in the desert, anywhere. Sun and wood in harmony. So many people feel their way in wooden buildings. Green roofs, it means a lawn next to the photovoltaic. This is the first building in Germany where photovoltaic panels, cells are placed in all the parts of the roof. It means all the directions. This is a football stadium producing energy for 300 people. This is a new building. Can be done in the right way. It means a photovoltaic can be a part of the windows. So this only renewables are represented there. And this is a supermarket, and they're using geothermal boreholes. Wood as a material is absorbing CO2, and it is not releasing it into the atmosphere. What chances or what perspective we would have if we are building in such ways? So if we were installing these small wind energy cells and solar cells on our roofs, so this would be very nice. This is the factory producing shoe polishers. And as for the electricity and heating, so they are producing much more heat and energy than can be consumed by these 300 employees there. And now we are talking about the storage. So it's very good to have it, but there's no sunshine at night. So we have to combine it, wind and sun. And if it's not possible, so we have a geothermal thermal energy. And now we need batteries for accumulation of this energy. The problem accumulation has been solved partly. So this is the production here is much higher than consumption. Small windmills is a big topic. It's possible to achieve it also in the country. Sun and wind. If there's no sunshine in January, so we have quite a lot of wind. In summer, more red, it means more sunshine, but less wind. This is a new town hall in London. Half of heating is paid by sun energy, solar energy. This is Japan. After Fukushima, we have a solar boom in there. So the solar boom is unfortunately not in Germany. It is in California, China, and Japan. Japanese are showing us the way, because they are the whole cities which are supplied by renewables. North of Tokyo, completely new neighborhood, 100% solar energy. China has big problems with environmental issues, but they have woken up. And they hold the world record as for the wind energy. And the Chinese are world champions as for the photovoltaic. They are producing that the sun cells, solar cells, sorry, and compared to the rest of the world, it's just 20% compared to Europe, sorry. This is a south railway station in Beijing. This is a new one producing energy for 15,000 citizens. And Hermann Scheer is writing about the renewables. He's very well known in German-speaking countries, and he died 4 years ago, unfortunately. And this is his last book, Energy Ethical Imperative. So it means this issue is an ethical and moral problem at the same time. So that's why the Pope is talking about the cyclic in energy. Dalai Lama has told me, The Tibet can be waiting, but ecology or environmental issues worldwide cannot wait. This is what he said, because there is a big changes taking, and even in the Himalaya mountains, the ice is melting, and this can supply 2 billion people by water. This is a new building with 3 windmills. Hetman chair before his death, together with Mrs. Merkel. So he said we need a world agency for renewables. And this one was initiated by Mrs. Merkel. And this is the photo made by my wife in Bahrain. This is producing energy for 800 people. So we really don't need nuclear energy. We have a solution. And German builders are constructing these skyscrapers across the world. And you can see the photovoltaic around the shell. And this is the look into the future. So the next world exhibition will be held in Kazakhstan. This is the third world, but the supply will be by sun and wind. This is the development of installed output worldwide, or capacities. So it means the new containers have to be phased out there. 20% of them, it means half of them. And these are offshore and onshore power plants, so this is a wind energy. And the problem of storage can be solved. So the Chinese have a very romantic environment for this energy. But what can be done? Can it be replaced? So at the very beginning, each technology is very expensive. In 2000, there was 70 cents per kilowatt hour. And now we can see that it's much cheaper than the nuclear energy. So it doesn't matter that nuclear energy is more, that renewables are more expensive than nuclear funds. And this is, the difference is increasing. And in Germany, we have solar energy for, we are producing, generating for 10 cents 1 kilowatt hour. And in other producers need much more, about 30 cents, for example, in Britain. In 10 years in Germany, 1 kilowatt hour of solar energy will cost 5 cents without any cost for the future. There will be no necessity to dispose of it in the future. So these are wood pellets.
Bioenergy. The number of boilers for in Germany and costs of fuel in Germany, pellets are even cheaper than natural gas. And the heating fuel, even though the heating fuel is, heating oil is cheap. And thanks to manure and urine, we can produce a lot of energy. We have to combine. We have to also solve the problem of accumulation of energy. This can produce energy I produce during the day, and at night I use it. Why couldn't European highways look like this? Photovoltaics on highways, and also repumping pumps. A part of the solution is in repumping plants. During the day, you repump the energy, and at night you can produce electricity by the water, and this can be done by the sun and wind energies as well. Sun doesn't invoice us, so why wind makes us the winners? Renewables, it's the topic of winners, and then we can beat nuclear. Then we will be able to push it into the corner. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to my conclusion. During the last 2,000 years, our predecessors had a low consumption of energy, and this is where we are, and that's a fundamental difference, and it causes us problems. This is how much energy people consume in 1 year. Just water power plants could supply half of what we are consuming today. Bioenergy is 15 times more than we consume. Ocean energies, tide energies, wind energies, 308 times more than what we consume. 15,000 more is offered by the sun, geothermal energy. This is the greatest and biggest geothermal plant, power plant in Ireland. And they heat their highways in the winter. That's all home-based power plants. Africa, what social chance to beat poor by solar energy? Look at this African. He was home with a jobless, and he bought a small panel, and he built a solar phone, and now people come to him and make phone calls, and he has a job because he has energy. These women in Bangladesh, now they have a little photovoltaic panels, and it was financed by this man who was the laureate of a Nobel Prize, and he told me that as a banker he sells every day 8,000 photovoltaics, a banker that helps the poor. Poor people in Asia, 8,000 panels he sells a day. This lady shows me very proudly a lamp for solar, and it produces electricity for two bulbs, and her children can study in the evening. These children don't have to be taken care of anymore. They are able to go to school and study, and then they will get a job later thanks to energy. Nomads, they want to go to cities. They don't want to stay outside because they don't have electricity. But now they got a little solar panels, and now in this little yurta they have notebooks and television, and they become nomads again because they have all the comfort that they would receive in the cities as well. If you want to look at this website, you will get my newsletters. I will inform you about renewables and how to get from nuclear to renewables as fast as possible. I asked Dalai Lama in this interview, what's the religion for me? East is a religion that works on the elimination of energy self-sufficiency. Let's go away from nuclear. It's civilization, it's culture, it's ethics and morality. The transfer to 100% renewable energy sources with the help of sun, each man, every woman can contribute towards achieving the transfer, and we won't have to live with nuclear. And I wish this conference a lot of success, and I wish to all of us that we have a lot of inspiration and that we have the energy to work on this issue, transferring from the nuclear. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Alt. I'm sure the ethics of it was very good, and this is one of the important points. It has to address people, and then they will accept renewables. Mr. Alt will, unfortunately, will not be here at the end of the discussion. That's why you have a possibility now as the audience to ask him questions. So please, if you have any questions, do feel free to ask him. It is because German railway workers are on strike, and I wouldn't get home. I am from Passau, and I am a member of the Bavarian platform. Your presentation was very optimistic. You say 15,000 times what the people need. Are you really of that opinion that these alternatives allows us to continue, that we only have to change the socket, that we can reduce our environmental trace if we transfer from nuclear to solar, or do you think the problem is deeper? Do you think that 6 or 9 billion people can transfer from nuclear to renewables? Yes, there are calculations that say that the life standard of Switzerland in 1960 can be transferred without any problems. I remember to year 1960, there was no hunger in Switzerland, and that's the life standard can be transferred to 10 billion people. So I'm not afraid that we have to be afraid for our comfort, for our welfare, and we don't have to starve if we have to feed 10 billion people. God was not stupid, and evolution was not stupid. We don't behave as Homo sapiens today, but as Homo stupid heads. Half people on the world are obese. We are not missing food. It's a social problem. The only problem that we have to solve is that we have to behave smarter and social-wise. That's the only problem, and then we can transfer the welfare of 1960 Switzerland to 10 billion people, and that's my deep conviction. And it was God who thought of it. Evolution was not stupid. It's implementable. We only have, as Homo sapiens, we have to do it in a smart way. We must not we must not behave as a Homo stupid head, but we have to behave as a human Homo sapiens. You didn't mention wars. Wars cost us so much energy. It's not wars for energies. Who? Wars cost us a lot of energy. I think about every part. And then there's so much shooting in the wars that the rifles and weaponry, they cost us a lot of energy. I don't understand it much. I'm afraid that if we, even if we make weapons more expensive, then third parties will buy them anyway. If we stop producing them, that would be a solution. If we don't export, if we don't produce, then there would be no wars. That we have to live, we can live without wars. That's what Western Europe has showed and proved us during the last 60 years. And I believe that if Europe, if one continent shows it to the whole world, as the Europe has shown, then it starts working. You have to connect internationally. That's the advantage of globalization. South American Union, European Union. After European Union has come into existence, national is pushed back a little bit, and I don't know when, but I believe that a few years into the future, the world will be without any weapons. Wars are also led for energy. For example, the Iraqi war, that was a war for oil. But if we use energy from solar, George Bush and no one else can take energy for the from the sun. But wars for oil, they have been here for many, many years. The next wars will be for water. The change in climate will lead to wars for water. I believe it's a question of peace. Yes, you are right. Wars are mentioned just too little. Fortunately, We don't have a reason to mention wars in Europe, but in the world there are many wars that we don't mention. And you are right, we are not in a peaceful times. During the last 2 years, I mentioned Ukraine and the Near East and many African civil wars. You are right, dear lady, and that's why energy is important. But I don't have a patent for that. Yes. It's good that you've mentioned that. And there is one more question behind you. There is a gentleman, and then we have to continue. Hello, my name is Kerstin Rudek from the Bamberg Initiative. Mr. Alt, you have mentioned that some countries are going through solar boom. I believe that other countries turned their backs on it. Do you have any concept or any idea how to bring politicians to support this so that politicians do what people want, not the other way around? It means against nuclear, it means for nuclear, for renewable. What could we do apart from demonstrations? Don't give up. That's important. We have most people, almost all in all countries, that are behind us. That's a fundamental for us. In Germany, there are 80% people who are for phase out, in favor of phase out. Unfortunately, the government, the big coalition, they have broken many things in renewables. 50,000 work jobs. The government destroyed 50,000 jobs just to save 15,000 jobs in mining. We have to work more with majorities and emphasize what the majorities want, what we want and what we are in favor of. I went to Chernobyl for before Chernobyl happened. I had been a nuclear. I was in favor of nuclear, and then Chernobyl came, and that was a change for me. On TV, I saw for the first time castings against nuclear, and suddenly it came clear to me in my head. And I saw changes. 1 year I understood that it's not enough if I say what I'm against, but also what I want, what I'm in favor of, and how we get to renewables. And since I've been for renewable sources, I don't experience so much against the wind, but with the wind. We need anti-atomic initiatives, but I believe they fight against something. But you have to fight in favor of something. You have to fight for something, and then you can win people on your side. If we have alternatives and we don't have outcomes out of it, people get scared, and being scared is not a good counselor, and we have no reason to cause people scared.
So there is a reason for having fear, but we have to show the alternatives. We can be against nuclear energy, but we don't say what we can't say only what we oppose. We have to say what we would propose, what we are in for. And the main argumentation is what we can do apart from anti-nuclear movement. So we have to say what we would like to support, and then the people will support us. And we have to show to everybody that we have the power. We are the majority. And during the next elections, we have to elect only those ones who are in favor of renewables, not only to those who would support nuclear energy or lignite. So these are three steps. So we have to say what we are standing for. Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Mr. Alt. So, Patricia Lawrence is the next speaker. So, 2030, Europe without any nuclear energy. So, there's a sentiment, so there is a foundation to it, and these studies NFT will be introduced to us by Patricia Lawrence. She's in head of the nuclear campaign, and she's representing Europe Without. And she has been working for this organization for 20 years. And in this position, she's fighting against nuclear energy, and she has really influenced some commissioners of the EU, really, by her questions. She has put them into a difficult situation. So this is Patricia. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, I will be speaking in German. I'll try to speak slowly. Okay. So I'm very small, so you can really position it lower. I am specializing in the anti-nuclear fight, and based on this study, I think that we have to show the other party that it can't work like that. And it's a very difficult job to be done. We have to show our planes. We have to attack the planes of nuclear energy. And I think I'm quite successful. I have been working for 20 years in anti-nuclear energy. I am a lobbyist in Brussels during the last years. And in Austria, we have the experience, and the decisions are made in the Brussels. It means also Atom, Euroatom, and other organizations. And the study we have prepared is dedicated to this issue. Franz Alt is talking about it again. And we would like to show to you the picture of Europe in 2030 and the energy supplies and how we can get into the situation when we switch off all the nuclear power plants. But we should do phasing out, and so this is rather a recommendation for you just to read, or maybe I can prepare a spot with advertising or promoting these ideas. And the Quickly.fee is a foundation, so this is what I'll be dropping out of my presentation, because this is what you can read it quietly. Hinkley Point is another topic. You can read it. So our question for today is it possible to phase out nuclear power? So there are some studies, Energy Evolution by Greenpeace. And again, the question was whether we can shorten this period by 5 years and to achieve it by 2030. So it means that we should just achieve it. So there are two possibilities how to bridge over these 2 years, how to accelerate the renewables or to achieve higher energy efficiency. So the energy efficiency is a good way. This is really base for the energy revolution, and there were teams working on it. Naturally, we have to preserve a good climate. This is the energy phase of from vision to reality. I think that the interesting thing is the share of wind. This is further. There are some onshore and offshore. 13% is water energy, small water energy, 2%, and the processing of biomass and waste are also contributing to it. This is just a small overview. binding objectives, binding goals are very important just to have a security of investments and planning. And this is a problem with the EU, because the EU only recommends and the national governments make different decisions. So it means we need the best practices on the national levels, and the recommendations are not enough, which are coming from the EU. So all the standards have to be adhered to, and so it means CO2 coupons as a problem. This is a problem. There are many diagrams on this web page, and I'm a lobbyist, so I have to say that the most important thing for me is how to get on that position. The biggest problem is that the nuclear energy doesn't want to switch, and they will cause a large cost for the future, and they would like to prolong the service life of the nuclear power plants. This is a problem we have been fighting with for 10 years. So these power plants are getting older, they are getting obsolete, and nobody's talking about it, and they are trying to increase the output on the old installations, and they are coming really up to the limits. And in this way, we have to think that increase of the nuclear output by one-fifth means that not many people pay attention to. Last year, there was a breakthrough on the level of ESPO convention. This is a very important convention, which has the validity of European legislation. And based on this convention, some people were protecting and were protesting in the Ukraine because the Raven piles had prolonged the service life. So that was an issue at that time, and it was a big surprise. And the European Committee said that the prolongation of the service life needs the approval by European Commission. But it's really an important term, so we have to think about it, all of us. Is it really so that we want the nuclear power? So we have some 3,000-4,000 megawatt. Is this the only solution? Can we have them in operation for another 20 years? If we have renewables, so we could have some good discussion, because there are many people who can say it can be done in a different way. But until the operators of nuclear power plants are stronger in discussion, so it's bad. So it means that we have to unify ourselves to have a strong voice against nuclear energy. So Dukovany is a problem for us in terms of OVP is supported by the Czech government as well. But the operator believes that he can manage it in Dukovany, and they have to apply for the prolongation of license by the end of this year. Otherwise, these nuclear power plants will stay in operation for another 20 years, and their output is enormous. Thank you very much, Patricia. And I think the last two speakers showed us that it's possible to have Europe without nuclear energy. So what is what is preventing us from phasing out the nuclear chair? So this is the topic of Rudi Anschober, the Chancellor of Austria, and I would like to ask him to make his presentation. He is a politician. He has established a continent against the Temelin power plant. He is also a land councillor, and he influenced an anti-nuclear policy of Austria significantly, and I think we should give a hand to him for this. Apart from anti-nuclear policy, he is responsible also for the consumer protection and renewables, and we are very glad he is here with us. So thank you very much, Roland, for the introduction. Dear friends of this nice planet, I think the planet is what we are, what is putting us together. Several years ago, in Upper Austria, the most important topic was Temelin. And we have mobilized ourselves in Upper Austria, and we were successful, and we had many initiatives against Temelin, and we could influence the Upper Austrian policy, which is now anti-nuclear, and all the political parties were going the same way, were going hand in hand, and sharing the same vision, and fighting against the same enemy. So several years ago, we have said to ourselves that the nuclear lobby is linked with the economic interests, and this happens on the international level. And we have decided to hold this conference once a year, and we are trying to put all the anti-nuclear movements of Europe together and exchange information, and to improve our or increase our know-how, and consider common strategies to hit the weaknesses of our opponents, and there are many weaknesses, and we have to make use of them so that we can just put ourselves through. Last year we met in Prague. It was an excellent conference, and we were very successful in our strategic idea. It means in the Czech media, we have just planted a seed of anti-nuclear ideas, and we have shown that the nuclear energy is not a good economical idea. And now we have active criticism there from the financial sector and economics, and they agree with the anti-nuclear activists, and this is a good base, or maybe precondition, as Franz have said, that we have 70% or 80% majority in most countries, with the exception of the Czech Republic. We haven't achieved it yet, but we are trying to find new alliances. We have new argumentation, and we believe that we can get a command of the situation in the Czech Republic.
We have noticed that fighting against Temelin is the right way, and we want to continue. But we have to be united in networking. We have to make European movements, and the question of Temelin, yes or no, I am convinced that this question will not be solved in Prague within the paper war that the government agreed on, but it will be a European decision whether Temelin, yes or not. It will be a European decision that will focus on whether Europe will accept this for the future or not, whether we should finance some nuclear power plants with billions or not. And I believe this is a critical issue in Europe. Where is the energy policy going for the future? Are we going to put a baggage with great subvents and subsidies on their backs to carry, or whether we can convince them that it's against the interests of competition if consumers win and subsidies win, then we will pay it, whether we want it or not. But when we can stop these subsidies, and that was a very clear topic of Mrs. Patricia in her words, then we all have a chance that no new nuclear power plants would be built without subsidies. Because without subsidies, there won't be any new nuclear power plants. And without new nuclear power plants, there is the topic of prolonging or extending their lifetime. And after that, they will run out of their time. And these are the important turns again for phase out. 3 or 4 years ago, we focused on the unknown Henkel point, but now it's the most important nuclear power plant and in Europe. And in our strategies, it is important to for everyone to see what gigantic costs it imposes. We don't have any liability for the operations. This is all a present. We have to give significant, we have to make significant pressure at the European level so that everyone understands that it costs a lot of money, great, great money. This means that subsidies for Henkel Point will come through. We don't know what the circumstances will be. We can only speculate. If we want to legally attack that, then no one will probably even publicize it so that we can't oppose it. But the costs are really, really incredible. And for the final repository of nuclear waste, these are integrated very modestly into the present costs of energies. And who knows the new laws in Germany with the purpose that German final repository has to secure security for 1 million years. We know what crazy idea this is. How can you assure safety for 1 million years? How do we know what will happen in 1 million years? How to treat the technology? So here there is a mortgage for hundreds of years, for hundreds of generations coming after us, and they will pay back what we will put into their birth. We will see more precise we will hear more precise numbers, and that's a share of renewables is greater, and the number of nuclear reactors is declining. Since 2002, the number of active nuclear units has decreased by 50, and the share of nuclear in the total production since 1996 decreased from 17% to 10.8%, which means that the nuclear is on decline. That's connected with democracy and with systems of majority, with alternatives. I also believe we have to followers of this movement, and we have to connect. That's what we are trying in Upper Austria. We have an industrial government in Upper Austria that's independent of nuclear lobby, and that's independent of fossil fuels. That's a government of the futures, and this government in Upper Austria will secure the future of Upper Austria as the center of renewables. I see many photovoltaics on the roofs, but we are on the right way. Photovoltaics, that's our weakest point, but we are very good at producing hot water from solar. Every third heating from of hot water is from solar collectors, but we are still on a long way to go. And the land strategy for Upper Austria is that concerning electricity and hot water, we want to cover 100% from renewable resources. And this marathon, step by step, we are getting there. At present, Upper Austria has 34% energy from renewables, and electricity is 80% and 61% from hot water. So in 15 years, we still have to do a lot of work, but we are in the right course, and the numbers are increasing each year by 2 or 3%. It's important to have planable calculations of energy renewables, and these are energies that give us new jobs and give us certain assurance to Upper Austria. I could talk about many studies, many regions, many areas, many examples how the prices are developing, technology developing, photovoltaics in Upper Austria. They cost 10 or 12 years ago, they cost 5 times the cost today. So the price of photovoltaic power plants is decreasing, and the cost of producing new photovoltaic power plants is decreasing for one installed kilowatt. The price during the last 10 years, the cost of nuclear has increased 8 times, but the cost of solar kilowatt hour has decreased, so we are more competitive to nuclear. They need subsidies, we don't. And it is our objective that Henkel Point is a historical turn. If the subsidies go through, we will have a true problem. But now we have all the cards on our side, we have all the chances that we get this political scandal under control. It's a scandal what's in the planning. And we have all the legal and law cards in our hand. I saw Mr. Leitmiller on the third row. That's that Mr. Professor from the Linz University who gave us the best tools, and he created them because he, at the end of 2013 and at the beginning of 2014, he created the first economic financial study, the first results from this study, where the politicians agreed with the operator on subsidies, and he came to final conclusions, clear conclusions, that it is not possible. These subsidies have to encounter dramatic resistance of the society. And we are working on legal steps with our lawyers. I will tell you right away what. And these are based on his work, on his study. What does it look like in Henkel Point? We will see hear about this in detail later. We have framework conditions that on the 28th of April today, it was officially published by the European Union. Their standpoint, official standpoint, was publicized that we have 2 months plus for delivery. So we have 2 months and a few days to provide our evidence. I was very frustrated when we were writing letters we were sending to Vienna, to the Austrian Union government, and I believe there was big paper garbage, and the ministries simply throw our protests into this container. For the first time, it's different. For the first time, the Austrian Union government seriously took our application, and they are preparing an application and protest of Austria against the subsidies to the Flashpoint. So I noticed that we are going the right direction. We have all the legal means in our hand, and if we go through with this, and that's fixedly agreed with the Austrian government, that during the next few weeks this suit will be filed legally, and then this will go its own way. It has to go to the European Court of Justice, and in 2017 that will be the right moment when the European Court should decide. Many people will certainly appeal, but formally and legally, the Commission, there will be a massive effect that there will be a time shift. And in Hecla Point, investors will say, as long as there is this uncertainty, we won't sign investment agreements. And this investment agreement hasn't been here till today. And I believe that those that put money to invest in Hecla Point, they will know right now. Areva is one of the potential investors, and they have not been in a very good situation. They had a loss of 4.8 billion euro, so nuclear is probably not as economic as they say. And there are dialogues with Chinese investors going so that someone pays for Hecla Point, so that investment agreement is signed. But there is a big question mark. How is this legally? And unless there is a legal security for this project, the entire project will be postponed and will be delayed. So we hear that there are first states in Europe who want to join us on this way. Luxembourg said, let's go with Austria. And they said it's a control how to discuss on the European level. And Denmark and Sweden also listen to us. And we believe that Germany will do what's logical, because if logical, Germany said, we want to phase out of nuclear, and they look at this scandal happening, that would be absurd. So there will be a conference of the German Minister of Environment, and I believe they will decide for a logical solution to support us, and that they will join our suit for the invalidity of the agreement on a subsidy for Hecla Point. That's our appeal to the German Union governments to sue alongside Austria. What's very important from our point of view is that there is a range of power suppliers, energy power powers, that will present themselves against Hecla Point. There is Greenpeace, German Point, that notified that several municipal power plants would pass to use renewable energies, and this will also join us in the legal fight. There are studies from Greenpeace Germany that Greenpeace Energy documents that massively these subsidies have a negative impact on the competitiveness of renewable energy sources. So I believe this would also be way how to fight legally against nuclear. The wider is this legal resistance, the better chance we have. Numbers are absurd, and that's very shortly. I will talk about so-called contract for difference that's planned for Hecla Point would mean that the cost of electricity consumption, 92 pounds for 1 megawatt hour, that's 127 euro, that was guaranteed. The cost at the international market is 30 euro per 1 megawatt hour. It means they would have guaranteed three times more than the actual market price for 35 years, and this all insured. So if you calculate this, how much this is in 35 years, if the cost of electricity stays the same way as it is today.
So within the next 30 years will be under 30 euros per for megawatt hour. So this is an unbelievable situation. which is created for the British consumers. So it's $1 billion of subsidies every year into obsolete technology. It means technology which has nothing to do with in these countries after Chernobyl and Fukushima disasters. These two disasters have confirmed that nuclear energy is the past. So that's why we are we would like to use this as a lever, and we hope to have a clear decision within 3 years. And when it is a political decision of the European Court of Justice, that Britain and France have to do something about it. So it would be good, but the legal decision would be better. But we have to achieve strong political opposition in Britain and France to increase the strength of this lever. So we are just coming back to Temelin, talking about this lever, because we are convinced that when the point is missing subsidies, so there will be also no subsidies for Temelin and no subsidies for further development of nuclear energy in Europe. Thank you very much for your attention. Thank you very much. So, thank you to Rudy. In 2020 and 21, it means dropping the nuclear energy. So what will be after that, after these change in energy sector? So this is what we learned about it from Claudia Kunz. She has been working for 10 years in the Agency for Renewables in Berlin. So he is convincing people that the efficiency of renewables are very good, and she's convinced many people that new renewables can fully cover the demand of the population. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much for a very nice introduction. Yes, I'm from the agent from renewables from Berlin, and I'm very glad to follow the invitation to have here a presentation in German. It is easier for me, but you can see everything on the screen in English. So first of all, I would like to introduce to you our organization, what we are doing, and afterwards I'll be talking about the political goals of the Energiewende, about the political goals of Germany in electricity generation, and I would like to talk about the future outlooks. Agency for Renewables was established 10 years ago by the Federal Ministry of Environment and also various associations. And now we are fine, since we have subsidized projects. Partly we are subsidized by companies in the sector which decided to support our work. The reason for establishing our agency was a skeptical approach to the possible implementation of the Energiewende, changes in energy sector. And you can see some quotations here from the 90s. So at that time, it looked like a big advertising campaign. But in nature, we cannot produce more than 4% of consumption by renewables. But today, a generation of renewables covers 28% of the energy production consumption. So this is the evidence that it really works. And now we have to show that we are able to cover all the energy sector and cover all the consumption by renewables. This is for you for reference, where you can get more detail energy information, more detailed information on these engines. There is an English and German versions there. This is as for our work. So we are trying our best to communicate and disseminate information to achieve higher awareness and acceptability by the public. And as for the political goals of Energiewende in Germany, there are two basic goals: protection of the climate and CO2 production decrease. And it should be decreased by 60% by mid of the century. And we would like to just phase out nuclear energy as well. So this is what you can see on the map. So these are the nuclear power plants there. And gray color is, in gray, there are nuclear power plants which have been closed after Fukushima. So you can see 100 terawatt hours produced in Germany from the nuclear power plants. So Grafenhöfen power plant will be stopped in 2015. It is in northern Bavaria, and there will be some free capacity, and it will be linked to the wind power plants from North Germany, which means that the grid will be relieved. So there are some goals here. This is a share of the renewables and increase in efficiency in different fields. All these goals are influencing each other. And basically, they are influencing each other only if we reduce the energy consumption and we consume the energy in a more efficient way, and if we are using more renewables for the heat production and energy generation. So this will contribute to the phase-off of the nuclear energy. What is the current situation like? This is the development of the renewables share. And the blue line up there, this is a success curve. This is the factor of energy. As for the transportation, we are not so successful. So we increased the renewables from 4% to 28%. So it's a very good development you can see there. And the law on renewables has contributed to it because it forced the companies to act in a more efficient way. As for the nuclear energy, in the past years, the share of nuclear energy has decreased. After Fukushima, 8 nuclear power plants were closed down, and due to the significant increase of construction of wind power plants, we were able to compensate the phased out or the lost nuclear energy. As we have heard, politically, it's not yet quite clear whether they will just put it through or not. But nevertheless, we have here other statistics. This is a CO2 emission in Germany. And this is the development over the years. And we can see that in the 90s, due to the breakdown of the East German industry, we were able to change it. Forecast scenarios are in orange. These are the outcomes of different studies. One is a target study, what we need to protect the climate. These are the lower values. And then there are other studies telling us what can be achieved if we continue the political line we have now. These are the skeptical ones. So as for the climate protection, the picture is not very good. This is a setup of German energy in 2014. So we can see the consumption and production. And we have the difference of 2% there between 26 and 28. Because Germany is becoming an exporting country. So in this mix of the energy we are supplying Europe by energy from our coal, and this is a reason for high emissions. So it's not only the problem to phase out nuclear energy, but we also have to decrease the CO2 generation or production. And we have to be clear about where we would like to be in the future. So the way can be only, or the main direction can be only the renewables. Last year we had a meta study where we were considering different energy scenarios. We have compared them, and we were just trying to get the information what it might look like if we use just 100% of renewables. And we worked on this scenario, and we said that most probably the energy consumption in Germany will be the same in the future during as it is now. And you can see it here. And even if we increase the efficiency, and even if we have a classical consumption of the energy, so it means we would have savings there, but there will be new appliances, something like a heat pump, something like some other appliances or devices to be used, and which would be using and electricity. So it means the question of the accumulation is a big topic. So in spite high efficiency, the consumption will be the same. It will not decrease.
And how the park or fleet of power plants could look? If I look at the entire Europe, the shares of solar and wind should increase. It's the same for Germany as for the entire Europe. So wind and solar should be greatest. Well, in detail, there could be a little changes, but that's intact. But for the future, solar and wind should play the main roles. And there will be a great growth in new wind and photovoltaic power plants. We have to build 300 gigawatts. Now we are at 190. At present, we have 100 conventional and 90 renewable gigawatts. So at days, we have so much electricity that we don't know what to do with it in the grid. And there are times when we need other aspects, when there is no wind and the sun doesn't shine. So we need classical, conventional power plants, coal and gas that actually make up for the extremes. As for the amount of electricity, it's even more Yes, most is from winds, because a wind power plant has more operational hours than a photovoltaic power plants, and the rest, that's very important. that's back up the bridge. So the potential, the most secure is geothermal. Well, that's still in the diapers. The starting position is unclear, and we accepted geothermal in this graph, but it won't be the focal point. A great challenge that we are facing, this is the peak load, and from 2012, the green is the load curve, the red is the curve of renewables accumulation. It's the same for the entire year, and blue line is individual load. It means peak minus renewable sources. That's residual load, and you see it's a very hard work to make it work. So it's a challenge to make this work. Wind and sun, we can only calculate on it in a limited way. They change a lot. And the blue line has to compensate for it. If the blue line is goes down to minus, there are also situations where we use, where we have to use accumulation and compensate for the oscillation. And that's what we face right now. There are several hours per year, especially at weekends when the load is very low consumption of companies. And we have to 70% from renewables in the grid. Naturally, this means that the entire system has to be rebuilt. And that's also the result of the study. The first quarter of renewables that was possible to integrate into the existing system without any problems. But now we are coming to a point when sun and wind are showing massively in the grid, and they have to be compensated for. And it has a great effect on conventional power plants they will have to regulate their output. And for coal and nuclear, they can't do it so quickly from second to second. Gas power plants are able to do this much better. Renewables for the future must have systemic outputs. There have to be frequency changers and other controllers. That's technically possible. Fraunhofer Institute for Wind Energy in Gassel made studies. This is the image of combined power plants, and they have to be on the grid or networked, and they can compensate for one another in this network. And we have to get energy from wind power plants to the south, because there are many windmills in the north. There is more wind, and in the south we have more sun. So we have to transport this electricity to the south, to industrial Germany. That's why we have to enforce the grid. And there is a hot discussion in Germany. No one wants electricity lines behind their house, but we need the electricity. And if we get over 50% of renewables or 40% renewables, we need accumulation capacities as well. So in a short time, we can handle this via batteries, and we can do it on European cooperation level through the existing repumping power plants that we can even improve by modernizing their equipment. And above that, if we come to 70% share of renewables, then we need long-term accumulation means for long-term accumulation of electricity. And it will be probably possibly through chemical reactions or gas, where we make chemical reactions that would allow us get electricity back from the chemical reaction after that. So this is a picture how intelligent or smart grid could look like. That's a vision, and that's where it should go. So much to my presentation that's phased out in Germany. Thank you for your attention. And if you feel getting more information on renewable sources in Germany, then I can give you contact. And I'm happy if you ask questions. Thank you, Mrs. Kunz. Yes. So the audience can ask direct questions to Mrs. Kunz. Second line, please. Second row. Regine Zawadzki of Vienna. I have read that some power plants in Germany will sue because nuclear power plants have been shut down. Do you know anything about the suits? Yes, the suits are in action. What success of these nuclear power plants? That's an open question. There are intensive discussions to what extent they are justified. Yes, there are suits or actions for remedies. We had some decline from nuclear. Then there was a tax on the fuel rods. That was some kind of tax on phase-out from nuclear. And there are some actions for remedies from nuclear power plant operators. I don't know what the result will be. I can't say.
Thank you very much. Just a question from a French perspective. There's a lot of talk in France about the fact that the German Energiewende is possible thanks to kind of baseload capacity, nuclear baseload capacity in France. Of course, I know that the real situation is that Germany exports to France. But I would like to know whether you include in your projections a real shift in the French energy system and whether change in France from baseload nuclear to much more renewables would make it easier or more difficult to manage the situation in Germany.
In our scenario, our calculations have a national perspective, but of course it does make sense to have the European perspective because we have regionally balancing effects as well on the demand side, because the load is different in the different countries. There are national differences. We have different holidays in parts and different economic structures, etc. As well, on the weather side, weather is regional different. If we have wind in the north, maybe it's cloudy in the south and the other way around. Of course, it makes sense to use solar and wind energy everywhere to balance the whole system. And baseload is the wrong word for the future. We don't need any baseload anymore, nowhere, where we have large parts of renewables. We must have flexibility in the system. The whole system is the future energy system is based on solar and on wind, and the rest is only to complement this. That's it. So we need flexible capacities.
Dank. Gibt es noch weitere Fragen?
Anyone has questions? Anyone else? Can I have a note to Mr. Anschober's presentation? I agree that what's happening in Upper Austria, that's a decision for nuclear energy on the entire continent. I had a little experience. Maybe this helps. Within one talk show, I asked a question, what would it cost to pay one porter that would have to be at the port of this final repository for 1 million years? And there was an economist, and I said that this port man would make 2,500 euro per month, and I'm talking for 1 million years and adding 2-point inflation. So how much would this port guard would cost? This would cost us more than the entire humankind has available today. This is how cheap nuclear energy is today. Thank you, Mr. Alt, and thank you, Mrs. Kunz, once more. From our eastern neighbor, that when there is a nuclear in the play, the Europe refers them to. I'm very happy that Darius Svet is here. I ask him to come to the podium. And he will show us that there are also other possibilities of producing power. Darius Svet is a politician of Polish Greens, social activist and national economy scientist, and he will show us the way to democratizing energy, political and social aspects.
Thankful for inviting me here, and greetings from anti-nuclear Poland, Austria. I'm very, very happy to be here with you. It's the main point of my presentation is how to get power back to the people and how to get the green energy in hands of people. Because what we have in Poland is the situation where there is no support for nuclear power, for nuclear energy, but still of the public, but still the government is pushing for having a nuclear power. Because as you know, Poland is at the moment nuclear-free country as other non-nuclear countries like Austria. However, we already for the last 25 years we were discussing about having a nuclear power, and as you can see here, the support for it was increasing prior to Fukushima, and then it has decreased over the years after Fukushima. Which means that Fukushima had a strong, very strong influence on the public. Despite the huge amount of money being spent on propaganda from our energy sector. It is extremely important to understand what the democratic political situation of Poland is. And that's why I put society versus energy monopoly in place. Because we can see that Polish energy system, energy sector, is as it used to be in Germany. Four big companies controlling almost 100% of the energy sector. And it's, of course, mostly based on coal. Around 85-86% of energy produced in Poland, electricity produced in Poland, is electricity from coal. And what you can see, social-wise, is the very high cost of energy to people. We pay one of the highest level of energy price in Europe when we take the purchase parity of our society, of our pockets. So it means that we pay high costs of monopolistic situation of coal, which means that over 1 million of families are in the situation of so-called energy poverty. So it's a huge social and economic problem. And of course, our nuclear and coal lobby uses this rhetoric that nuclear may get the prices down, which of course it's not true. It's never going to happen. And I got a very good message to you that despite all these efforts of our big coal or energy, generally energy lobby, we already delayed by 7 years of our nuclear project. It was announced 5 years ago by the then Prime Minister Donald Tusk that there will be first nuclear power station by 2020 in Poland. Just a few days ago, it was announced officially, that the year will be 2027. At the earliest stage. Why is it so? It's of course because of the costs. It's because of the very difficult situation now with the coal-based energy economy in Poland. Because as you know, or maybe you don't know, but our energy sector has huge problems with so-called coal bubble. So the overestimating the price the value of coal-based energy system. One of the biggest coal company in Poland, which is also one of the biggest in the European Union, lost over the 5 years time, lost 90% of its market value, 90%. So it means that coal is no longer an answer either. And we can see that it's still that our government is mainly pushed by the coal energy sector, which means that they are proposing mostly legislation which is in favor of coal and nuclear. And one of the issues now is to support nuclear power station with long-term feed-in tariffs, which means long-term subsidies for high price level. And it's also a big issue that we could get a lot of energy from so-called coal-bed methane, which is now released to the atmosphere, producing a lot of problems of climate change. While we could collect this methane, coal bed methane, to produce energy and to produce heat. So still there is a lot to do with what we have rather than to build any new system which is costly, which is undemocratic, and which is really not what we would like, what we need. And it also, in case of methane, we have a lot of problems with threatening lives of our coal miners. So it has also a very good social aspect in terms of giving coal miners better working conditions. And as you can see, big energy companies, they use a lot of money, around 100 million euro a year to use the propaganda to say that green energy is expensive, that green energy is not really any solution, because when the wind does not blow, when the sun does not shine, and so on and so forth. So it's all the same stories all over Europe. The problem is that they're getting billions and billions of zlotys every year from our pockets for continuing what they're doing. So that's why we pay one of the highest level of energy in Europe. And then, which is also good news, we will have to close down around 6,000 megawatts of coal-based energy power stations, which have to be closed down because of the EU standards, because of the also being older, which means we have to replace them with some other options. And one of the options that we can do, even here in this room, as we can see, one of the bulbs is already LED bulb, the other one is still the old-fashioned one, and we can replace all the bulbs in Poland with LED lamps, and it will produce the equivalence of 1,500 megawatts installed of the nuclear power station. So it's a huge amount of energy that we can avoid producing and avoid paying for, which means that we can save at least 3-4 billion euro a year from our pockets. Of course, it's not in the interest of the big power stations who sell energy to us. So we calculated that it's 100 times cheaper to replace lightning with LED lamps. It's 100 times less expensive than to build a block of nuclear power station in Poland. So it's a huge amount that they want to spend on it, while there is very little activity on promoting energy efficiency by consumers, by citizens of Poland, because of course it is not in the interest of big corporations related to the government. And it is obvious that you can see that we can lower bills of our citizens, of our consumers, which also means fighting against energy poverty. So it is a question, why do we have the government who is not really dealing with energy poverty, but rather helping big corporations to continue with getting lots and lots of money from our pockets as taxpayers and from our pockets as consumers. And what is also very important is that job creation is massive. We can see it already from Germany, where we have almost 400,000 jobs, green jobs, in energy sector, while in Poland it's already, but still not a huge amount, of 35,000 people employed. The problem is that if you have 500 coal miners organized, coming to Warsaw, to the parliament, showing up and saying, we want money, we want continuation of the system, then the nowadays prime minister say, yes, no problem, 500 million zloty to your account, which is around 125,000 euro, 100 euro, 125,000 euro, while the green sector, energy sector, is not really organized to show up, as it happens in Berlin, for instance. I once tried to organize a demonstration of green energy sector, and 10 people showed up, while in Germany, a week before, in December 2014, there were 100,000 people showing up to support Energiewende. So it's really crucial that we show that people will benefit from the transition, energy transition, in terms of getting money, getting better air, getting jobs, but they need to show up, they need to protest, as we did 25 years ago, to get democracy. That's why we need energy democracy now. What is really possible now is, and what we would like to do, is to link between regions and cities all over the continent, all over Europe, to show that 100% energy, green energy is possible and it's viable. And it's that we can share our experience and our knowledge about it. And we are very eager to work with other cities or regions like Upper Austria to achieve it, not having nuclear power and getting down with coal power. When we look at the so-called energy corporocracy, which is nowadays system in Poland and in many other countries of the region, I'm looking at my friend from Slovenia, which is probably having the same, or Czech Republic, having the same problems. It is extremely important to show the benefits, economic and social benefits, of getting to energy democracy. On this slide you can see what benefits we can have from insulating houses instead of building new power station, whatever it is, coal-based, nuclear-based. And it's obvious, but it doesn't happen. There are some 5 million houses in individual houses in Poland, and most of them, if you would look at this green-red scale, most of them would be completely red, as Mr. Sorry, I forgot your name. As you shown before, that we overuse energy, which is not only a problem of climate change, which is very difficult to translate into everyday life of Polish society, while telling them you would pay less for your everyday life would perfectly work. And what is also important from social point of view is also job creation. In this slide you can see that it's 100 times more, creating 100 times more jobs when we take this green direction into consideration. And it's also very important that it's decentralized all over the country. I would say that all 2,500 communes in Poland, called gminas, would get it. Not only those who have coal or those who have some other resources, but all of us, we can get it. So it's also an egalitarian way of achieving it, which is very important. And to give you a little bit of understanding of the situation now, it is not so bad from the green point of view yet anymore, because we already have some over 3,000 megawatts of installed capacity of wind. What is really unfortunate, it is that it's still owned by big corporations, whoever they are, international or national, which means that it's not really a transition, political, democratic transition. It's rather replacing old, big installations with a bit smaller, but still not democratically controlled. What we would need is more control of the society on this wind capacity too, in terms of not only communal, city-owned wind farms, but also cooperatives of citizens to get their profits back, rather than paying for this energy consumption to big corporations. Another good and very decentralized positive development is the solar heat, which Poland is one of the top installer, as Austria also, it was mentioned here that Austria is also developing well here, you can see that over the last years there was quite rapid development of installations of solar heat, which means that there is more and more independence from the centralized system. Why did this happen? Because it doesn't heat too much, I mean heat too much the producers, the big producers of electricity. That's why they allowed for that to some extent, because it's local heat, so it's not so difficult for the economic situation. And some would say, I'm a dreamer. It's no way to get green 100%. Really, I meet people like yourself, talking to them, and they say, no, this is impossible to get 100% from the sun, from wind, from wherever. So I calculated, nowadays technology available in on the market, that we would need around 1,000 square kilometers to get 100% of electricity in Poland nowadays only from the sun. So the only problem is, of course, to keep this energy when it's needed. But still, technologically, it's possible to change overnight or over 2 weeks. Just installation of those solar panels. And we calculated that of the price of Hinkley Point, for instance, those price would be two times lower for solar energy rather than for nuclear. So we can see it's cheaper, it's in our hands because we don't pay for energy anymore, we don't produce any waste, we don't have any big lobbyists to corrupt our politicians anymore. Yeah, this is the problem, probably. And Poland is also a very big producer of appliances in the European Union. It became, over the last 5-10 years, one of the biggest producers of appliances. Why don't we produce AA or A++ appliances rather than producing D or C or B appliances? It's also another political decision what kind of appliances we produce in Poland. And because we have 500 million consumer market in the European Union, it's a huge demand that we can meet with this production, creating jobs in Poland. It's also greenhouses, so it's a lot of different technologies that we can use and produce jobs at the local level. And I'm not sure whether you are aware of it, but Poland is also one of the top producer of graphene, which is also coal, type of coal. Graphene is a kind of flat type of coal that can, or carbon, sorry, that can be used also in photovoltaics technology in the future. And Poland is one of the top producer of industrial production of this type of carbon. And it may be that in the next few years we may become one of the biggest producer, industrial producer of this substance. And let me read this, because it's not very complicated, but I think it's worth reading the entire thing. Imagine fuel without fear. No climate change, no oil spills, dead coal miners, dirty air, devastated lands, lost wildlife. No energy poverty, no oil-fed wars, tyrannies, or terrorists. Nothing to run out, nothing to cut off, nothing to worry about. Just energy abundance, being and affordable for all, forever. It was Amory Lovins in Reinventing Fire, because we are really reinventing another world. And another world is really possible. And this is Gdansk, Danzig in German, the city in Pomerania in Poland, around 100 kilometers away from the proposed nuclear power location. We don't need nuclear in Poland. We don't need nuclear in Europe. We don't need nuclear at all. Thank you.
Also, herzlichen Dank, Darius Svet, vor allem für diesen.
Velmi děkuji Dariusovi za tu. Well, thank you for this beautiful presentation. I really have shivers. Now it's your turn, the audience. If you have any questions to Darius Svet, or if you use it later on, but we have very good time. Thank you to everyone that you hold for the great time management. If you have any questions, please ask questions. One question in the back by the mirror.
Thank you for this presentation. Maybe you can't answer it, but I guess you can, as nobody can here. What about the coming? It's only the president that you are electing, aren't you? So maybe his position is not so important for energy policy. But can you say what about him, the one who will be coming, and what his attitude is toward energy policy, especially renewables and efficiency?
It was really unfortunate that on last Sunday there was the debate, because it's the second round, so there are two candidates, two right-wing, very conservative ones, that were fighting who is really responsible for climate policy of the European Union and supporting it, who was supporting it more, and it was blaming each other for that. So you can see that, I'm sorry to say that, but democracy works only from the bottom up in Poland. It doesn't work from the top down in this regard. What we really need, we need all citizens of the European Union, at least of the European Union, of Europe, of the world, to really work together against those old-fashioned conservative politicians who want to stop us from really making this happen. So sorry to say that, I'm not going to vote to any of them, and that's it. But I'm going to vote, and I'm going to work with people to get power back to our society, to our citizens. And a good news is, sorry for a longer answer, but I just became the advisor on foreign affairs to our newly elected mayor of Słupsk, which is in the neighborhood of Gdansk, in the northern Poland, in Pomerania. And he's convinced of 100% green Słupsk from energy, but not only energy perspective. And I'm really happy to advise him to fight for green region of Pomerania, which now is meant to be a location of at least one nuclear power station. But I think that together with hundreds of thousands of citizens, we will manage, despite our politicians, whoever will be elected, we will win.
In der dritten Reihe haben wir noch eine Frage. Die Paula. müsst es einschalten.
Nein, es geht nicht.
Now it's working. Perfect. You said that the green are not organized, that miners are organized and they make protests. And I would like to know how well you are connected with other groups or movements. What's your level of cooperation, and if there are such groups in Poland at all?
When I meant Green, I don't mean the Green Party, because I'm no longer a member of the Green Party. I mean Green Society as such. Whoever they are, conservative, progressive, left-wing, right-wing, what I really mean is it is now that we try to build in Słupsk, for instance, where we have a mayor, newly elected mayor, we try to show people their own interest, because it's very difficult, and I think it's all over the region of Central Europe, Czech Republic, probably Slovakia, Hungary, Baltic states, that we no longer believe in any democratic kind of settings. We lost our belief because of economic situation, which is harsh in a way. So what we would like to say to our citizen fellows in Słupsk, why don't you join us? Why don't you work with us to your own profit, to your own welfare, to your own progress? And it works already. We can see that participation level is getting higher in the city, while it is still not all over the country. So the main work we have to do now is to re-empowering people. I know it's not easy, but I think it's much easier when we say you can economically or socially benefit from it. Because when we're saying democracy is important, people just turn their back and say, you were saying that for 25 years, where we are now. So people are really disgusted with politicians, hopefully not myself, but truly, it's really a huge distrust against political elites. What we really need now, first we need new elites, like my fellow friend, politician of mayor of Słupsk, Robert Biedroń, and we need more of this kind of really democratic politicians, but what we really need more even is we need people to reinvent democracy in a way that we all benefit from it. So it's a little bit, I can imagine, different from the situation in many, let's say, old member states of the European Union. But it is also that we can work together to reinvent the democratic regimes in Central and Eastern Europe, but also in some other countries. In some other countries, because, for instance, the nuclear lobby in France, it's very successful in getting one president or the other on their board, because they're pushing for like jobs, like many other things. Although Mr. Hollande was much more into green rather than the previous president. So what I would see is I'm calling in triangle, green triangle again, which is France, Germany, and Poland, because now we can see that Mr. Hollande is working a lot with Chancellor Merkel on green developments to introduce green energy in France and to replace nuclear energy with renewables. And we can say we are just very similar to France in a way, because France is very much dependent on nuclear, while we are very much dependent on coal. Why don't we use the same kind of idea to lower down nuclear in France, coal in Poland, but not replacing coal with nuclear from France, for instance, because it's useless. So why don't we go the same way as France is going? With one exception, what we really need in Central and Eastern Europe.
Co skutečně potřebujeme ve střední Evropě je, potřebujeme mít na první
less reach there, so we really need to re-empower people with lower bills so that we have more time to think rather than to work all the time to pay our bills.
Okay.
Thank you.
Danke, Darius Wirt. Nach all den spannenden Vorträgen, Statements, Referaten.
I would like to thank Darius Schwedt and for his presentation. So we'll have lunch now, but not all of us, because those who held the presentations here, I would like to ask them just to go over to the press conference. They will be eating there, but answering the questions of the journalists. The others have lunch in next room. And Margit Schweiger is a painter, and she has an exhibition on the occasion of this conference. And in his picture series, she is reflecting the relationship of young people to the renewables. And please be so kind and don't miss it, and pay attention to this exhibition. So we are opening the lunch break now.